Hello, and welcome to the next episode of Chronically Spiritual by me, Sarah Tilsley, bringing spirituality and invisible illness to the forefront. No more hiding anymore. We're focused on showing the world the truth and saying this is who I am and I will not be quiet anymore. It can be hard living as a spiritual person, especially when you've got invisible illness too. And it's time we blew up the stigma and show the fucking world we are here and we will not hide anymore. Hello, welcome to episode 12. Today I'm going to give you my story of my invisible illness. So, I have scoliosis. This is a condition that I gained as a 11-year-old. So just coming up to puberty and all of that, like, growth and all of that stuff that goes on, like one of the most difficult times of your life, right? At least a young life. And then all of a sudden I had crooked teeth and my spine went, and it was an interesting few years. And there was scoliosis. I was diagnosed with idiopathic adolescent scoliosis, or adolescent idiopathic scoliosis. Idiopathic means a no known cause. And scoliosis, your spine twists around and curves as well. So mine comes down from my neck, out towards my right shoulder blade, right around in a backward S shape, and right down into my pelvis. And what it does is pushes your rib cage out, makes your shoulders uneven, obviously pushes your internal organs around as well, and makes your hips uneven, your waist uneven. And it can happen with anybody. It's more likely to happen in those who were assigned female at birth. It does happen in those that were assigned male at birth too, but the majority of people who you see with scoliosis were assigned female at birth. Like I say, it can be in both, but the stats speak for themselves. And I was 11, started high school, and we lived at the top of a hill. And I started high school and I had this big, huge bag, and I had to catch a bus, and I got to school and I did all my school stuff, as you do. And I found over the months that I had an issue with pain. I assumed it's because I was carrying a heavy bag up to the top of the hill and all that, and never really did much else about it. I never mentioned this pain. I just got on with it. And during my lessons throughout that year, I had DT, which had big massive folders with it, and PE on the same day, and had all this heavy equipment all on the same day, which I don't think helped the situation. People would tell me I'm wrong. I don't care. I know what why I feel it was part of the reason and part of the cause of my scoliosis. And I feel like that was to do with the growth that was going on in my body at the time, the big heavy bags for school, and all of that. Either way, I had this pain that I had. And at the time, I was going through puberty and I didn't like the way my body was changing, so I used to cover up, wear cardigans, anything to cover up my body so it wasn't seen. It was only until one morning, I was 12 years old at the time, that I walked into my mum's bedroom, and she had all these mirrored wardrobes in her bedroom, and I walked into her bedroom and stood by the mirror and just looked at my body in the mirror. And my mum said to me, "Sarah, stand up straight." I was standing up straight. I was. She looked at me. She saw that my shoulders were uneven, my hips were uneven, and all of that. And she had me bending over straight down with your arms flat, falling forward, and to show. And she saw that my back wasn't straight. My spine was curved. My ribs were curving to lifting up one side, were higher than the other. So we went through the process of getting diagnosed, going through years and years of tests, scans, appointments. At the time, all these scans weren't digital back then. So they had to have a trolley to push my records around with them. The amount of records and scans I had over the years were huge. And they had to have a trolley to push it round because they were too heavy and big to carry. That's how many records I had over the years. I had all sorts of different scans. And to cut a long story short, I ended up having my operation on my spine. It was found out that it had curved over 40, well, it was closer to 50 degrees by that point. It was curved over 50 degrees, and my doctor, Mr. Dove, my surgeon at the time, said to me, "We have to operate now because your spine's got to a point where it's not going to stop curving, and we have to go in, we have to correct the spine, and we have to straighten it out, fuse the spine, and put the metal rods down your spine and put this plaster cast on." But they wanted to test me out with something they called a neofract jacket, which was like a moulded plastic that they poured into this suit thing, and whilst it was on my body and moulded this to my body, and it formed this plastic. And the good thing about this neofract jacket was it was unzippable. And I can't tell you how grateful I am that I had that unzippable jacket as a teen growing up throughout the height of summer, especially the summer in 1998, because it was red hot. And I could take it off and have a shower, have a bath and all of that, which was absolutely amazing as a teen. I couldn't have gone all them months without a shower. I couldn't have done it. It was this, because this jacket covered from the base of my neck, right the way down my spine. It was right the way down to my hips, like. So it was sort of one of those things that if I hadn't have had to do that, I would dread to have been around me at the time. You know what I mean? So I had my operation in, I was about 14, 15 years old. It was about 1997 I had this. I want to say 97. It may have been 1998. March 1998, I think, when I had this, my first operation. And at the time, it was, you had this operation, you'd be in intensive care for a couple of weeks, then on the ward for a couple of weeks. It was all well and good, except there was complications. Not everyone has complications, I'm aware of that. I had complications. So this complication that I had was that when they brought me around, when they pulled me out of the operation, I stopped breathing 3 times. They had to use a defibrillator on me 3 times to bring me back, and they dismissed it as normal. They said to my mum, "She just forgot to breathe." I hang the fuck on a bit. 14 years old, 15 years old, just forgets to breathe. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but that's a load of bollocks. So, yeah, either way, I was brought back to life again, and I was in intensive care for a bit, and I was put on the ward. And when I was on the ward, the staples that they use to staple you back together, gory warning, they popped open. And it was open at the top for a while. I'm not going to go into any deeper because it's really gory and disgusting, and you don't need to hear anymore. It was just know that it was open. Which I think has a major impact on what happened next. After I came out of hospital, I was on massive anti-inflammatory, massive painkillers. I was on Codiadramol actually, so massive painkillers, but also massive antibiotics. Because I had an infection in my back, I had abscesses down my spine that kept coming back. To me, those abscesses were linked toward the fact that my wound was left open for a while. But they claim that it was because my body rejected the metalwork. My current doctor thinks that it may have been a metal allergy. I think it was more likely to do with the fact then, but I'm not a doctor, so you listen to the doctors, don't you? And go with what they say. And I ended up recovering. I recovered, but only after they took the metalwork out. So a year later, they took the metalwork out, got rid of all the infections, cleaned me up, put another jacket on me for another year, another 6 months, and then I continued with life. I got discharged just before I finished in high school, and I started college in the year in 1999. In September 1999, I started college, and I lived my life then. I was in a bit of pain, but I just lived my life. But over the years, I was aware that my spine was curving. Just a little bit at first, I wasn't really noticing it as much, but the more I got throughout my life, the worse my pain was getting again, and the more I started seeing my spine curving again. I noticed my height was dropping again, my spine was curving again, and over the years, and I kept dismissing it because I was told that once I'd had my operation, once my spine was fused, there's no way out my spine would curve again. I've later since found out that actually it can, and it curves so many percent a year. I don't know the statistics off the top of my head, but it can curve so many percent a year after you've stopped growing. So stopping growing doesn't necessarily stop the scoliosis. So you may have it and not really be so much aware of it as a teen, but as your spine If your spine curves in general so much percent a year when you've got scoliosis, then it can obviously be more it'd be more detectable as you get older. So you can end up being diagnosed as you get older when in fact you've probably had it since a teen and not really been aware of it until it curved enough. And I had my son when I was 25. 26. I was 26 when I had my son, and it was only after, it was in just before the pandemic started, that I decided to start looking into seeing the doctor again. Started to looking into seeing what was going on with my spine, because my hip it's causing a lot of pain with walking. I can't walk for more than 10 minutes without leaning heavily on a stick, and I'm in a lot of pain daily. My spine is curved. I can't walk right. I can't bend down, I can't do a lot of things I need, should be able to be doing. And the doctor that I have was trying to fix it. He said he could go in and operate, and then his colleagues said they couldn't do anything about it. And I haven't heard from them since, despite the fact I'm supposed to see the doctors. But that the old NHS that kind of discussion isn't. I'm just not going to go into that right now. So all of this pain and all of this stuff that I'm going through is because my spine continued to curve, and that's my doctor's. That's what he said about the spine could curve so many percentage a year. To after you've stopped growing, and essentially that's what's causing the pain. And he says that in the middle of my back, there's a part of my spine that hadn't fused, and he says that the majority of my pain is coming from that point. But my spine now, my current state of my spine, the curve is a hell of a lot worse than it was when I had my operation the first time. I'm nearly 40. I'll be 40 this year, so it's taken a while to get to this point. And this is why I am so passionate about invisible illnesses. Because a lot of people with invisible illnesses are dismissed. They feel lost and like hidden. They feel like people just don't get them anymore. That people aren't seeing who they really are. And that's not on, right? A lot of people with invisible illnesses feel like they're overlooked, they're unheard. That people aren't really listening to what they are going through, that people don't really understand. They might feel like they're outsiders. They may feel like they just don't exist. That they're not represented enough. That a lot of people don't see that the fact that they have an invisible illness because it's invisible. Because people see them and think they're just normal people living everyday life when in fact they don't know what's going on. And the reason I'm doing this podcast and telling you my story is to tell you that you're not alone. That I felt all those things too. And I'm here if you listen to the intro at the beginning of the podcast. I am here to change that. I want to help people with chronic illnesses, with invisible illnesses, but and those in spiritual side stuff as well. I want to help people to feel supported, to be seen, to show the world their gifts, to show they matter, to show that we care, that they have a purpose too, that they are needed, that they have a voice to be shared. To see the truth, to open people's eyes, to show the world that they exist, to change their lives, to stop all of the judgment and ridicule and people dismissing what they are going through as nothing. And dismiss the judgment and the things that people say, oh, I didn't know you were ill. You don't look ill. No. It's an invisible illness, love. Like, that's kind of the point. And people might, you might be aware that if you do come tell people how you're feeling, that you might be seen as moaning. Always moaning Minnie. Moaning Minnie over there. She's always complaining. They've always got an issue. He's always going to tell you how much pain he's in. So we hide the fact.
We hide who, what we're going through. We hide who we are. We hide the fact what our beliefs are. And we live the narrative that we need to be hidden. We need to be invisible. And I don't want to be invisible anymore. I want you to not be invisible anymore. I want you to be represented. I want the world to see you and who you really are. Are you with me? You can find me on social media at I Am Sarah Tilsley. If you enjoyed this podcast, share it, sprinkle me around, tell your friends, share my story with other people. I would love other people to listen to this, that share my vision of wanting to be seen more, of wanting to people to know who we are. Because we deserve to live our lives as well and not be hidden. I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. Thank you for listening, and I will be back again in a couple of weeks for my next episode. Have the best day. Thank you for listening to that episode of Chronically Spiritual. I am Sarah Tilsley, and I hope you have the best day. Keep shining your light, keep being who you are.